St. Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you," referring, of course, to God. A soul at rest is a soul that is at peace. A soul at rest is a soul that is willing and waiting to do God's bidding because it trusts that God's commands are right and good. It knows that being in the will of God is the only safe and secure place to be. Today's psalm is a psalm of trust, showing, as Doug Stewart writes, that even in times of despair, God is trustworthy. Indeed, in God alone, our souls find rest. What is a soul? In Hebrew, it's nafshi. In Greek, it's psuche, where we get our word psyche. The soul is the you-ness of you. It is your inner being, your personality, your self. Where does your soul find rest? Most of us, if not all of us, know what it's like to have a restless soul. And many different things can cause our souls to be restless. Wherever, whenever we are anxious or depressed or fearful or enraged or bitter or resentful, our souls are not at rest. How is your soul? Is your soul at rest or is it disquieted? And what is causing your soul to not be at rest? For David, the author of the psalm, one of the things that tempted his soul to not be at rest was attack on his character. I think most of us have witnessed somebody's character being destroyed. Political candidates try to do it to one another all the time these days. Instead of talking about things they stand for, what they believe, they're more interested in how to make the other person look bad. Have you witnessed an innocent person losing their position or influence due to a character assassination attack? In verses 3 and 4, David describes what his enemies are doing. They ask those probing questions to get to know him, only to turn his statements against him. They lie. They're two-faced. They say nice things to his face and turn around and gossip and say nasty things behind his back. They also curse inwardly. They act polite, but inside they hate him. The best way to maintain a soul at rest in the midst of having your character attacked is to seek God's will, to remind yourself of where your identity is, that your identity is in Jesus Christ and all the ways that God sees you, not how others see you, and to trust your defense to God and not to retaliate. The psalm repeats, "My hope or my expectation or my patience is from God alone." God will put all things right in time, and God is a giver of true salvation. To thwart a character assassination attempt, it is best to own up to one's mistakes and failures right away. Then they can't be used against you because you've already said it before they can say it first. Those who are honest and live with integrity have less that can be used against them. And certainly we know that David's character was deeply flawed at times. But he was quick to repent, and he was quick to confess when he was confronted with his sin. When the prophets or somebody came to, or an advisor came to him and said, "This is what you've done," David would admit it. This is part of what made him a man after God's own heart. Another thing that can cause restlessness in our souls is a lack of material security. It's something totally different from having your character attacked, but it can cause equal restlessness. Now, I doubt that King David had to think too much about not having enough, but he warns us not to take matters into our own hands when we start to worry about our lack of wealth. In verses 9 and 10, we learn that social status means nothing, that being lower class doesn't necessarily equate with humility, and upper class doesn't mean that one is any more secure than a poor person. We ought not to be jealous or envious of another's status or to boast in our own social status because it means nothing in the eyes of God. There is no glory. And remember last week we said that glory meant weight or heaviness. So there's no weight in class. Both are lighter than breath. And David describes it as being weighed on a balance, and they weigh nothing. God doesn't show favoritism. We are warned against trusting in our status and stepping on others to gain material advantage. Too often, this is a means that our society praises and promotes for achieving success. Do what it takes, hurt whoever you have to hurt to get to the top. Every man for himself, dog eat dog. But God cares about how we treat our fellow human beings. God cares about how we live through our vocations. When we buy into these ways of thinking and being, we're not honoring God with our work, and God will hold us accountable. Then we are warned against trusting in robbery to gain financial security. Now, I don't think many God-fearing people think about committing a crime to gain wealth. But there are a lot more subtle forms of robbery that can tempt us if we are not careful. The NIV, you heard, used the word extortion. One of the other things we can do, we can rob God, for example. This is what God accused the people of doing through the prophets, that they weren't bringing in their full tithes, and when they brought gifts to God, they weren't the best, they weren't the first fruits, they weren't worthy sacrifices, they were blemished, they were the leftovers. And when we withhold our tithes in fear of not having enough, then we tell God that we really don't believe that God can provide for our needs. Another way that we might be tempted to rob is to not be fully honest on our tax forms. And that's also robbery. I'm sure if Alan were here, he could tell you that there's consequences for doing that. Or another form of robbery that we might be tempted to engage in is not paying workers fairly. If we're a boss and we have workers under us, this happened with Walmart several years ago. They had to settle a lawsuit because of wage theft. And both my father-in-law and my brother were victims of wage theft at the hands of Walmart, but neither had the privilege of being compensated in that lawsuit. Wage theft occurred when managers required employees to clock in 15 minutes early and stay 15 minutes late, or both, and not pay them for that extra time, because you don't have to pay for a quarter of an hour, but you add up quarters of an hour, half an hour every day, 5 days a week, 50 weeks a year. It's almost a week of unpaid work, 37.5 hours of unpaid work time. That's a lot of money for a part-time employee or a full-time employee. And add that up over years and multiple employees, and that's a lot of money. It's a lot of free work that Walmart was getting. God cares about how we treat our employees. And speaking of lawsuits, that's another form of robbery that we might be tempted to engage in. There is such a thing as reasonable compensation when you have been mistreated. And then there's excess in forms of punitive damages and pain and suffering, or because you're mad at somebody and you just want to see them suffer. We don't think about hurting people sometimes when we sue because we're suing a company or an entity, but excessive lawsuits hurt many people, and our healthcare system shows the harmful effects of over-the-top lawsuits. We pay ridiculous prices, and doctors have to have ridiculous insurance premiums because people are greedy. And finally, we are warned not to trust in riches if they do come. Too often, we think, if we just had a little bit more, then my soul would be at rest. But money can go as quickly as it comes. Think of all the lottery winners or sports stars or pop stars who have had millions and millions of dollars only to be bankrupt within 5 years or less. And plus, we cannot predict the future. Jesus told the parable of a rich man who had a windfall, and he said, oh, I'll just build these big barns and these storehouses and hold it all and keep it for a rainy day. But it didn't matter because God said, this night your soul is required of you. He wasn't going to be able to enjoy it. He was going to die. It is more important that we trust in the one who has power over our souls. We cannot trust in material things. Rest for our souls comes in security of knowing to whom we belong. Rest for our souls comes in knowing that we belong to Jesus. Rest comes in knowing that we have eternal life. If you don't know that you have eternal life, then a restless soul makes perfect sense. But we can know that we have eternal life. God has given us His Word so that we can know that we belong to God. In whom or what are you tempted to put your trust other than in God? Is there something that you are currently placing your trust or security, trying to find rest for your restless soul? Only in God can our souls find rest. Nothing else offers security. David says that when his soul is at rest, he cannot be moved. Think of a ship that is anchored in a storm. The storm may cause the ship to bob about, but with a strong anchorage, it won't lose its mooring, it won't drift away. Matthew Henry says, "I may be shocked, but I won't be sunk." The more we meditate on God and God's attributes, the more our fears fall away. Meditation on God and God's Word can help us to rest in God. Prayer is a way to put our souls at rest. We can pray to God about all of our anxieties, all our fears, anything that disquiets our souls. Psalm 62:8 exhorts us to pour out our hearts before God. We pour ourselves out to God in prayer, and that is like a drink offering. When you actually tell God about what's bothering you, God, that is honoring to God. God is blessed by that. It's like you're offering Him something worthy. I mean, we think we're just, you know, complaining, but God sees it as something worthy. It's not burdensome to Him, to God at all. 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7 says, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." God cares for us. When I find my soul being disquieted in the middle of the night, I often pray myself back to sleep. Sometimes I might wake up with a name of a person on my heart and will pray for that person, and I'm able to go back to sleep after I do. My soul is intentionally being disquieted. Anything that connects us back to God helps us to put our trust in God, helps ourselves to find rest. For me, music that focuses on God and God's work and God's majesty helps me to rest in God. Or taking a walk in nature and looking at God's creation, or even something like rocks, where you think, "God is my rock," and you're reminded of God can help us to pray. For some people, running is a way, or candles, or a scent, or gardening, or being together with other people in worship. Even falling asleep in church can be a sign that a soul is at rest. The safety and peacefulness of a sanctuary, being in the presence of God, can calm a person. With all these things, though, whatever means we use, we have to be careful that we're not worshiping or trusting in the means, but we're actually putting our trust in God. It's not prayer. It's the God who answers prayer. It's not running. It's the God we're praying to while we're running. It's not gardening. It is the God who makes things grow. It's not the creation, it's the Creator. We have to make sure that it is God in whom we're putting our trust. Our psalm ends reminding us that power is of God, that God is merciful and gracious and kind, as well as mighty and strong, and God is characterized by loving kindness. The psalm ends by saying that God will repay or reward each person according to his or her work. Now, I'm glad that David first says, that God is merciful. For praise God, God doesn't repay us according to our work. God instead responds to us with grace and mercy, without which we would be hopeless, because if God repaid us according to our work, we would all be hopeless. All of our righteousness is accounted as filthy rags, and certainly we have done a lot that we wouldn't even consider righteous or good. But God is also just, and God is merciful. And his justice is equal to his mercy. Praise God that God doesn't mete out justice beyond what is deserved. God doesn't punish beyond what is fair for those who are disobedient. There's no unfair sentencing with God like we sometimes see in our criminal justice system, where two people commit the same crime and receive wildly different sentences. God doesn't do that. God is consistent and God is fair. Both God's mercy and God's justice gives us cause for praise and cause to approach God with holy fear and awe. For God could have responded to us with justice, and he would have been good to do so. But God has given us mercy and grace. In the psalm, David moves from the personal to the corporate. We share our experience of God with others. We share that God is trustworthy, that our salvation comes from God alone, and that our hope is in God. That God is safety, and that God can be these things for other people. If God is this for me, God can be this for you. God's goodness and God's love are meant to be shared. When has your story helped someone else? When have you invited another person to experience the hope and the safety and the security and the comfort for a restless soul in God's love and God's protection? Do you have a friend who has a restless soul? Share the good news and the hope of salvation in God through Jesus Christ. Share your story. Tell someone that they won't find rest until they rest in God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that in you our souls find rest. And some of us know, most of us probably know from experience, that if we try anything else, it just doesn't work. That you are the only solution for a restless soul. Thank you for being consistent. And thank you for responding to us with love and kindness and mercy. Thank you that when others attack us, we can come to you and know who we really are, because we can know how you see us. Thank you that you are the great provider, that you promise to meet our needs, no matter how little or how much we have. Thank you that you are no respecter of persons, that it doesn't matter our class or our social status or our economic status, you love us all the same. That our value comes from being created in your image and from being bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for putting our souls at rest. Thank you for valuing who we are, and help us to value who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and affirm our faith using the Westminster